Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
What?
No, but you are my favorite conservative.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And I think it's important we tell everyone that I'm not feeling well. I have a migraine. So we are in a dark studio and this is going to be an audio only episode. However, you can still comment in real time if you are watching on YouTube, LinkedIn. I'm not sure if you can comment on real time on X, Facebook, and Rumble, but you can certainly try and we will feature your comments.
All right.
But if you're just seeing a big heart with my favorite conservative and going, why aren't they there? It's because I have a migraine. I'm sorry,
yeah,
people.
We're in the dark, so the camera doesn't pick up really well.
Yes, we're in the dark. So there's a lot going on. Let's talk about the aliens.
Well, a lot of craziness,
yes.
Right? Yeah, so, I mean, we have, this week we've got unidentified drones flying over New York and New Jersey. But, of course, our government tells us, you know, we don't know who they are, but they're not a threat.
I know.
So if you don't know who they are, how can they not be a threat?
Right. I know.
I mean,
if you live in New York or New Jersey, we want to hear from you.
Yeah.
We want to see your photos. We want to feature your photos because we've seen some online. But those drones look huge.
Yeah. Yeah. These are not your little kit, you know,
no,
that you get from Amazon.
They're not hobbyists. Yeah.
Wow.
We also have President-elect Donald Trump being named Times Person of the Year. And I just want to say, I thought you guys hated him. Like, I thought you hated his guts. Why is he person of the year? And I know where you're going to go with this.
Well, what pisses me off is person of the year, okay? It used to be Times man of the year.
Right.
Okay, and that's great. Why don't we have a man of the year and a woman of the year?
We do have a woman of the year.
Not Time. They only do a person of the year.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Just think of the conundrum that leaves the left in, because they don't know what a woman is, right? Right? So here's a quick history lesson. It was Time's Man of the Year until 1999, and then they changed it to Person of the Year.
Oh, wow. That was much farther back than I would have expected, to be honest.
1999 is when they changed it, but it wasn't until, I believe, 2006 or 7, they actually had the first woman, who was Angela Merkel, the former Chancellor of Germany, followed a few years later by Greta Thunberg.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And the third woman is Kamala Harris. Two of them at least are not notable, shall we say.
Okay.
All right.
We also have people falling down.
Well, I mean, we've got, you know, so this week we've also got Mitch McConnell, right, who fell during a Republican luncheon last Thursday. He cut his face and hasn't been seen in public since.
And we hope he's okay.
Yes, we do.
And we have Nancy Pelosi saying, hold my beer. And then she proceeding to top McConnell by falling off her stilettos and down a marble staircase while in Luxembourg. That sounds so painful. She then had hip replacement surgery at American military base hospital in Germany. So this fall was so bad, she couldn't wait to get back to the U.S. to have this surgery.
But my thought on it is, they keep telling us that Europe and Canada have these amazing healthcare systems, but yet she goes to an American military base to get it replaced.
Well, she is American. I'm going to push back on that. She is American.
Lots of craziness indeed. That's
for sure. She's American. That's where her insurance is. So I'm just saying.
Her insurance.
Yes, she has insurance like everybody. She has good insurance. Yeah. She has the best insurance. Okay, so I'm guessing none of what we've just said is the actual topic.
That is correct.
Okay.
You would be correct.
All right.
It might be a little interesting to do a little thought experiment. So our topic today is, was Trump losing in 2020 actually a blessing in disguise? Now, obviously, as a Trump supporter, I wasn't thrilled that he lost in 2020. But like most people, I didn't think Biden would screw up the country as bad as he did.
You know, I'll agree with that. As you know, I did not vote for Trump or Biden or anyone in 2020. I just couldn't pull the lever for Trump yet. And I definitely did not like Biden. And I know how disappointed you were with the results, but I don't believe you threatened to move to another country.
No.
No. Or worse, you did not vow to withhold sex if your side lost.
Yeah, that's never happening.
So. Yeah. I just want to put it out there. I'm just curious, just again, I'm going to get some hate here. Why is it the women that are always withholding sex and not the men? I'm just saying.
And it's usually women who don't look like they're having a lot of sex anyway.
Oh, that's mean. Okay, he said that, not
truthful,
mean. Okay,
mean.
No.
Well, I agree, mean, but there's a lot of truth in it. Have you seen the pictures?
Oh, okay.
Have you? Okay.
You know, all I'm saying is withholding sex, that's a lose-lose for everybody. I'm just saying. Yeah.
But seriously, did anyone think Biden would make a complete mess of absolutely everything? I mean, just a quick list, the Afghan withdrawal, right? Inflation, the border, crime, world conflicts, you know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, I know those things would not have happened under Trump. So with all those horrible things happening, how do you think it's actually a blessing in disguise that Trump lost in 2020?
Okay, well, let's review. So let's set this up here.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt real quick.
Absolutely.
Just a reminder, if you're joining us 5 minutes in or so, this is an audio-only episode because I, Andrea, have a migraine and we're in a dark studio. So again, our apologies for not being on camera, but you can still participate in real time. All right, go ahead.
All right, so to me, the voters knew. I mean, the American people knew that the country was in deep trouble from within, and we voted accordingly.
But you're talking about 2024.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. So you're kind of going to go forward then backwards.
Stay with me.
Okay. All right.
So they knew that if Harris had beaten Trump, she would have continued the same disastrous policies of the Biden administration for and then some.
Oh yeah, that's why he won the popular vote too. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. So the voters spoke out and they put an end to these Marxist policies. And they voted to put an end to the insanity that the left's imposed upon our nation. You know, this is the new norm, which is what they wanted.
Right? Okay. All right. So this, the Trump loss in 2020 possibly occurred for a reason.
Yeah.
Is your
thought. I mean, think about it. The United States, you know, the Ronald Reagan shining city on the hill. That's been diminished, and the world, the world's on the brink of World War III.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, this is not hyperbolic, you know.
No, we have unknown drones over New Jersey. So.
Well, yeah, that and actual fighting and killing going on around the world. But, you know, Americans have lived through the Biden term and they felt the pain.
Much like Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Bill Clinton. I feel your pain.
Okay. Right. Keep going.
So they needed to experience exactly what the Biden years had in store to truly realize that they didn't want any part of it. So I kind of what I'm going there is unless you experience it, you know, you can hear about things going bad or whatever, but if you truly experiencing will make you turn the page for sure. But I mean, since Biden became president, you know, identity politics has been more important than solving any problems. Everything's an identity politics problem.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I mean, the Democrats in power did not care about the people that they were elected to represent, you know, which was demonstrated by, you know, open borders, lawlessness throughout the entire country. It's not, you know, just little pockets. We are energy dependent on others now.
Yes, and we were energy independent under Trump, saying.
Yeah, our enemies are growing stronger.
Yep.
You've got wars flaring up around the globe, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Inflation, you know, running amok for sure.
Yes.
But the one issue I think that really shocked many people in this election, this past election, was the distortion of biology.
Yes.
Right? Go ahead.
Yeah. This is so hard for me. You know, the left, and I don't usually like that term, but I don't think it's true of everyone, but encourage children to mutilate their bodies to become something they were not. Somehow we got away from sex and gender took on a different meaning. The American people did not want the trans movement shoved down their throats. And the Democrats showed disdain for the family by labeling concerned parents as domestic terrorists.
Yeah.
And in some parts of the country and in some cities and jurisdictions, parents were actually being separated from their children because they would not move forward with gender affirming care.
Yeah, which is probably this. I hope that phrase becomes such a negative in history that people will just reel from it and never think of gender affirming care again.
Well, you know what I always say is, if you, because I work in healthcare, and if you ever have to enter a clinical trial, you go to the clinicaltrials.gov and you got two choices, people, male, female. That's all you have. Like, that's it. So
that's true.
They care about biology.
Yeah. But to wrap up, like, why we wanted to change in other areas, you've got, you know, Christianity itself and the Jews were and are targets of hatred around the country.
You know who I would love to talk to? I'm just going to put it out there. Anyone who is Jewish and voted for Kamala. I would love to understand.
You know, yeah, that's one of those things where so many Jewish people have always voted Democrat because their parents did. And that was all with FDR, with Roosevelt from the 30s, going through the Depression and things. They just thought he was God.
Yeah.
They passed that down to their children. But that is starting to turn big time.
We got a viewer. Just want to feature him real quick. Hey, Mark. Nice to see you. Let us know where you're from. And apologies again, we're not on camera today. All right, tell us about some other areas.
Well, I mean, any ideas, any facts or opinions that did not go along with the left's policies, they were attacked.
Always, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got freedom and free expression were not allowed with the media manipulating their news, air quotes, you know, to fulfill their liberal agendas.
Well, I want to jump in here. You know, I am such a free speech absolutist, even when it works against me, you know, even when people say hateful things about me personally or about the show or whatever. But I so firmly believe in free speech. And we had social media sites like Facebook policing comments to shut down Republican thought or facts. I mean, your Facebook feed is manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. People were banished, I mean, from society and lost their jobs just for questioning anything having to do with COVID, right? With the jabs,
yeah.
Or if you had any negative thing to say or even just question. Remember when people were getting thrown off of Facebook and Twitter by citing CDC actual website facts?
I know. I know. And I just want to say, as someone who had long COVID, and my immune system has never fully recovered. And it's a real drag. It really sucks. And I also just want to shout out to what you said earlier about social media sites and policing things. Jenna Marbles, YouTube's former YouTube star, come back. Come back. She was hilarious, funny, and politically incorrect, but not political. You know what I mean? She just made fun of everybody and everything.
Yeah.
It was great. And YouTube ended up just shutting her down, and the amount of hatred she completely walked away from being a YouTube star, which she kind of became one unintentionally. But come back, Jenna Marbles. We miss you. But continue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, just in changing gears a little bit, I mean, so many Americans now do not like the billions of taxpayer dollars that are flowing to Ukraine.
Absolutely. Americans are tired of being in wars overseas.
Well, that, and, you know, you see what's happening here in the last, you know, few weeks of the Biden administration, where they're now throwing more billions after billions to Ukraine.
Yes.
You know, also, I think a big thing that happened that the left wasn't anticipating is the abortion fight this past time, right? That it seems almost to have diminished a little bit with the Dobbs decision, because I think a lot of women finally realized that Trump doesn't really have a say in it. There's nothing the federal government can do, because it's up now to each state.
Right. Yeah. The Democrats definitely pushed this narrative that Trump was going to do some kind of federal ban on abortion.
Right.
He can't, because of a Supreme Court decision. First of all, he never wanted to. Okay. Please remember, he was a former Democrat, people. Come on. And two, he can't because of the Dobbs decision. So yeah, I think that especially those last few weeks when they were getting desperate, and that was the one thing that Kamala actually believed. Like, when she said it, you believed her. She was very pro-choice, as am I. But, you know, to say that President Trump is going to ban abortion across the nation, it's not going to happen. It's up to each state.
Yeah. And just to one more little quick tidbit on that, I think an incredibly telling statistic is from Trump with this last election,
yeah,
women under 30 who are prime candidates for abortions, he was up 11 points with them,
yeah,
from 2020.
Yes.
That is huge.
Well, I think a lot of that is because his son, Barron, told him to go. It's Barron, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He told him to go on popular podcast and newer media. And so Trump was getting out to a much younger audience.
Oh, yeah.
And Kamala wasn't doing that.
Well, she went on a sex website.
That's right. She went on a sex podcast. Yeah. But we digress. Yes. Anyway. Yes. All right. So the Trump loss in 2020 appears to have been a blessing.
That's correct. Because let's start out.
Okay.
I don't think the American people, they would not have been as receptive to another Trump presidency back then in 2020 yeah, as they are now.
I agree.
Right. You know, hard times that you go through makes things crystal clear.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Right. You know, I think they had Trump fatigue right after 2020, because we got to remember the COVID and everything that was going on. And every, you had, you know,
Russia,
investigation.
Russia.
Yeah, yeah. Every investigation by the Democrats. So for sure.
Yeah. And many of the swamp in DC, which includes members of both political parties,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
That's both sides,
yeah,
guys, and federal agencies. They made it their mission to attack Trump while he was in office the first time every single day. And that undermining would have been continued.
So. Yeah. I also think, you know, one of the blessings is the weaponization of the governmental agencies would have never been addressed, because
yes,
he was too busy trying to fight what was going on at the time.
Yeah.
You know, in these 4 years, he's been able to sit back, reflect, and realize just how incredibly weaponized our government's become.
Yeah. And he would not have had the mandate he has now, nor the knowledge of how deep the deep state is. I mean, he's really learned. And I have heard some people say, well, Trump doesn't have a mandate. Guys, he won. He won by more than a mile. He won the Electoral College. He won among young people. He won Gen Z.
Every swing state.
He won every swing state. He won the popular vote. He does have a mandate. He absolutely does. The majority of Americans, and I say this to all my amazing, lovely liberal friends whom I love very much, the majority of Americans voted for him. Get over it.
All right. But, you know, just remember this, as president, he would have had a continual fight on his hands, because Chuck Schumer would have still been in charge of the Senate.
That's right. Yeah.
And Nancy Pelosi would still be running the House.
Yep.
And so, because the Democrats controlled the House and the Senate for the first 2 years in the 2020, after in 2021.
Right.
Yeah. So imagine, you know, that would have just been how many more impeachments, right?
I know.
Seriously, there would have been, I'm guessing, three at least.
Oh, for sure. Who knows? And lawsuits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, you already had this in here. So Trump has a mandate. Yes. Okay. Continue.
Yeah, but, you know, he does have a mandate now, you know, with what you just mentioned. You know, he is putting the right people in the right places, mostly. There's a few that I've got some problems with. That's another show.
Which we've already talked about.
Yeah.
But what I like about it is, I mean, I think this was last week's show, or maybe 2 weeks,
right,
2 weeks ago, two shows ago, is that he, if you look at the people he's putting in these cabinet positions, and we'll see if they actually get through the Senate confirmation hearings, but many Democrats are part of it.
Yeah, you know, that's just it. I mean, if he would have continued his second term back in 2020, there wouldn't be a Tulsi, there wouldn't be an RFK, Elon Musk would not be on board.
I know, yeah.
So yeah, it's been able to, by the Democrats screwing up so badly, they've pushed so many people away from them.
Yeah.
And it's only benefited Trump, because Trump's saying, come with us. I think the real term of this last election is simply common sense.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and he's selecting people who are not part of the Washington establishment or elites.
Yeah. And you know, I was actually watching Devin Nunes this morning on Maria Bartiromo, and they were talking about his new cabinet picks. And he said to Maria that, you know, he's putting the people in place, but if they don't do the job, they will be replaced. So my question to everybody out there is, how many people did Biden replace?
None.
Thank you.
I'm just gonna answer
right,
it. Yeah.
thank you. So yeah, but I mean, again, he's more knowledgeable about how DC works and way more knowledgeable on how to drain the swamp.
That's right. And he can also go after the federal agencies that have become weaponized, as well as lawfare.
Yeah, the lawfare, that needs to be
that
shut
needs
down
to stop. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I mean, the great thing is Trump now has the House and the Senate, but you know, bigger margin in the Senate than the House, which is actually quite odd.
Yes, it's unusual. Yes.
Very, very odd. But the great thing is,
at least for the next 2 years under Republican control.
Yeah, he can undo all of Biden's executive orders immediately.
That's great.
Yay.
Yeah.
And the great thing is he's got the support of the country right now.
That's what I said.
Well, most Americans, I should say.
Yeah, the majority of Americans. Yes. Yeah. And the mainstream media, as I alluded to earlier, has really become irrelevant.
Yeah,
it has. You know, American voters chose Trump and they ignored the cries of dictator or Hitler. And shows like MSNBC and CNN are hemorrhaging even more viewers than before. They're trying to sell off MSNBC.
The feelers are out there. Yes.
Yes.
But you know, again, what was the term that they used is he's a threat to democracy.
Yes.
Yes. We'll check back in 4 years and let's see how that plays out. But you know, what's funny is the New York Times and the other newspapers, they just don't have the influential power that they once had.
No, political correctness and the ability to silence people is gone. And we can really thank X. And by saying X, we mean Elon Musk, for buying Twitter.
Amen.
And also podcasters like Joe Rogan. I mean, Joe Rogan did not come around until the very end. And then he said, yeah, I'm voting for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to touch on this in one of our following segments here, but wokeness and the DEI, the diversity, equity, and inclusion, will hopefully be put to rest in the graveyard of bad liberal activism.
That's a great phrase.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And then finally, we have the Supreme Court.
Yes.
So
this is the biggie.
Two U.S. Supreme Court justices may be getting ready to retire. Justice Samuel Alito Jr. is 74 years old, and Justice Clarence Thomas is 76. I cannot believe he's 76. I swear he looks so much younger.
He does. He's been there,
I know,
30
forever.
Years now, I guess, or whatever. And you also got to remember that the liberal justice, Sonia Sotomayor, she's 70 years old, but in, I think, way worse health than anybody on the court.
Yeah.
She got bad diabetes. I know she's had a bunch of other issues. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, so think about it. During Trump's upcoming presidency, he might be able to nominate at least one, possibly two, and maybe even three conservative judges.
Which he did in his first term, three.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? That's what's interesting about that is something that the left should have hammered on more. They should have talked about that more, because I think most Americans understand the Supreme Court, understand how important it is. And no, we only have nine justices. Well, maybe not, you know, the youngins, they don't learn this stuff anymore in history class, but I think they should have hammered that more. I think that would have been a better argument than he's Hitler or he's going to be
right,
an abortion.
But what was the argument they were fighting for in the Supreme Court? It was,
Kamala
wins, we're going to
pack
the Supreme Court. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I find it quite humorous now that Trump has won. He should immediately put out on X that, you know what, that's actually not a bad idea to pack the Supreme Court. In fact, we're going to take it up to 13.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm going to name the next four, plus anybody else who retires, and have like an 11-2 advantage for conservatives.
But I'm all for a 20-year term. I don't think it should be.
I will completely agree with that.
Yeah, yes. It shouldn't be a life term.
Yes.
So the United States Supreme Court will remain in conservative hands. Yeah. Regardless of how many Trump appoints. So
So I mean, if all goes well in terms of Trump land, you know, that could be a 7-2 court, a conservative, if Sotomayor has to hang it up because of health issues.
So the two would be
Elena Kagan
and Ketanji Brown Jackson. That was Biden's.
Yeah. That was Biden's incredible pick.
Yes.
Because she was a first.
Yes.
Yay.
So it was a blessing in disguise that Trump did not win in 2020.
You know what?
I think he made a really good argument for it.
But summing it up, I hate that we had to go through this, right?
I do too. I just saw our power bill today.
Yeah, but, I mean, for the whole country.
I do too.
Just think about
it. I do too.
Especially the crime and the needless, you know, murders and killings of innocent people by people that have, you know, been flown into our country, basically.
And the vaccine mandates and the people who lost their jobs and the companies that shut down. I mean, the list goes on.
People can't afford to, you know, what are you going to pay your electric bill? Or are you going to eat? That sort of stuff.
So, yeah.
You know, while the silver lining, obviously, is this new optimism that's coming in.
Yeah.
We had to go through a lot of hell to get here.
You know, I want to just put a bow on what you just said. I think one of the best things the Trump team did the last 2 weeks was they shifted to positive.
Mm-hmm.
They shifted to shift.
Absolutely.
Shifted to optimism, to hope, and not like, you know, hope without any substance. They were, you know, they were still talking about the issues, but they stopped doing negative ads or did fewer of them. I don't know about the swing states. They probably still had them, but they were really making the focus more about this is what we can do. This is what we will do. And this is how it's going to benefit the country.
I think what you said there, the last 2 weeks of this campaign are going to be studied tremendously, under a microscope by political science classes.
Yeah.
Because you had 2 weeks of Democrats going full negative, and 2 weeks of the Republicans going full positive, and the polls proved it out.
Yeah. Well, not the public polls. The internal polls really did, though. The internal polls. I mean, that was one of the things I heard Donald Trump Jr. Is that his name? Yeah. What did they call him? There's a name for him.
Don.
Yes, that's right. They call him Don. I heard him say that internally they knew the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
they knew internally that the polls were shifting, and that's why they decided to stay positive.
I mean, Kamala's people have even admitted on some podcasts last week that they were never ahead in any of the polls the entire time.
In their internal polls.
Their internal polls. Yeah. Yes.
The external ones, they were. Yes. People just didn't want to admit that they were going to vote for Trump.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. They did. Absolutely.
All right. Edward, give us this week in WTF.
I shall. This is kind of a one to really piss you off and say WTF, but this is from Dan Gooding at Newsweek.com.
Okay.
Headline, Biden administration auctioning pieces of border wall. From the article.
So spiteful.
Material to be used for the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border was reportedly taken away in Arizona, set for auction just weeks before the barriers champion President-elect Donald Trump returns to the White House. Quote, they are taking it from three stations, Nogales, Tucson, and Three Points, a Border Patrol agent told the outlet on conditions of anonymity. Quote, the goal is to move all of it out before Christmas.
Jesus.
So you've got Arizona Republican House Rep Eli Crane told the Daily Wire that the Biden administration was purposefully hindering Trump's effort to secure the border. Crane said, the Biden administration is well aware they shouldn't have reversed the construction of the border wall. If it's true, they're purposely hamstringing an incoming president. It wouldn't be shocking. Why would they want to see President Trump succeed with policies they aggressively sabotaged? And from the article, GovPlanet's auction listing show the rust-colored panels laying on the sand with bidding starting at $5 a piece. At an auction held Wednesday. Talk about spite.
I said it was spiteful.
I mean,
it's so beyond spiteful.
But how much harm by not using that, by not building a wall, that have they done to the American people? And this dovetails perfectly into our week in wins. Why don't you take this one?
Yes. So this week in wins from Cameron Abrams at the Texan.news. Headline, Texas Lieutenant Governor sends warning to blue leaders on immigration law. Buck up, buttercup. So Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick sent a conversation with Fox News host Laura Ingraham that Texas will begin to make plans to purchase materials for the southern border wall and give it to President-elect Donald Trump. And this is great. He says, quote, "I got $1 billion in my pocket to do it," Patrick said. "I will go in and buy it all." Patrick concluded by calling President Joe Biden a traitor who is attempting to sabotage the upcoming Trump administration. And here's his final quote. "It is disgraceful. It is disgusting. And he will go down as the worst, most despicable president in the history of this country because no one has done more damage and hurt American citizens."
Amen, Dan Patrick.
So he is going to buy the border wall that's on sale right now and give it to Trump.
Yeah. I mean, how perfect of a combination of these two stories.
These
that
are
Biden's
great.
Trying to sabotage everything about the border. You know, let's go back real quickly here. Remember, what are we, about a month left in the election? And all of a sudden, they start changing their tune on the border.
Oh,
that,
God,
oh,
yes.
They're going to be so tough and everything else. Well, you know what, people? This shows right here how tough they were going to be. Can you imagine if Kamala would have won? They would have bulldozed every section of every border, gotten rid of everything.
Yep.
So,
I
but
agree.
Yeah, I mean, yay to Texas on this.
Yes.
That is awesome. Buy it cheap. Give it to Trump. Say, let's go.
Yes. And you know how I feel about it. He said, buck it up, buttercup. And I always say, suck it up, buttercup. So I even have socks that say that. I'm just
okay.
Saying. Okay. All right.
We do have a weekend woke.
Yes. Well, I hope so. It's like our cornerstone segment.
Yeah. And this is actually kind of referring back to what we were talking about earlier in the show from Madeline Leisman at townhall.com. Headline, bombshell report claims that Biden's education department spent $1 billion on DEI.
For our people, because we're not on camera, as a reminder, because I have a migraine, my head is in my hands. Like, I just cannot believe that number. Okay, continue.
From the article, a study conducted by parents' rights organization, Parents Defending Education, found that President Joe Biden's Department of Education spent at least $1 billion on diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives since 2021. Researchers found that $490 million was spent on DEI hiring efforts, $343 million on DEI programming, and $170 million on DEI-related mental health resources. And I've got some examples here. Why don't you read the examples here that we have?
You just want me to throw up on you.
I do.
Okay. A $4 million grant was given for a, God, this makes me mad, for a three-week residential, quote, culturally responsive computer science camp for 611th and 12th graders.
So they spent $4 million for a three-week camp for 600 people.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Yeah. What was the math on that? You did it.
It was like $6,666 per child.
Per child.
For 3 weeks.
3 weeks for a culturally responsive computer science camp, whatever that means. The University of Iowa received a grant award of $1.2 million to train 40 elementary teachers to, quote, enact equity-centered education in partner K through 12 districts.
Aye.
So $1.2 million for 40 teachers to train them in something. That
elementary school teachers.
Yeah.
Elementary.
That was unnecessary. But what's the math on that?
Oh, I didn't do it.
You didn't do the math on that one? Okay.
Ridiculous amount.
The University of Missouri in St. Louis was awarded, at least this number smaller, a $306,000 grant to train school counselors in trauma-informed, anti-racist, social emotional learning. And they call it TIAR-SEL.
It's just like they just try to make this stuff up, don't they? I mean, they literally do.
I know. It's continue the article.
Yeah. So from the article, quote, "You reap what you sow. And it's very clear that this administration's Department of Education has been incentivizing the advancement of far left ideologies into American schools in place of rigorous, proven methods of instructions." The PDE, which is the group that brought this to light, researcher and author of the Grant Ed Report, Ryan Staley, said in a statement, quote, "The only people or groups to benefit from the enormous amount of grant funding are the universities, administrators, and DEI consultants at the expense of children's education. This needs to change by placing children's learning at the forefront of education instead of prioritizing race-based policies and DEI," Staley added.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, this goes to our whole show here of you know, reducing the size of government. And the first thing on, well, one of the first things on the chopping block has to be the Department of Education, because we actually do have 50 departments of education in each state.
Yeah.
Right? Each state has their own.
Right.
We don't need to send money to Washington, have them, you know, dole it out in grants around the country, send some of this, you know, receipts back, and then we run our
and it almost education. Sounds like they're cleaning the money, like
it's illegal. It's a little bit of a laundering situation. Yes. Well, you know, you think about it, it really is, because what they're doing, it depends on who's in control of it, and the DOE's always been more way left-leaning,
right?
And they're giving it to their left-leaning causes.
Yeah.
So it is laundering it in a way. It's a good point.
Anything else to add?
This one, you know, while I'm excited about Trump, I hate that we did have to go through these last 4 years, but better times are ahead.
Yeah, I agree. For sure. Thank you so much. We see you watching, and thank you for watching, even though we're not on cameras. Thank you for joining us live today, and please follow us on all social media platforms. And we are live on most Sundays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern. And there's no way I will have this migraine for much longer. That's what I'm telling myself and my body. So we will be on camera next Sunday. We stream live on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. And if you're listening to the podcast, which always drops the next day, and in that case, you didn't need to see us anyway, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast, available wherever you're listening right now. It's really important, guys. Again, you can use a pseudonym when you leave a review on Apple Podcast, but that's how people discover the show and allow us to keep doing it. And you can also support our show by joining our locals community, where you can comment privately and interact with us personally and learn more and follow us. Everything you need to know, you can email us. You can even leave us a voicemail at myfavoriteconservative.show. You can see it on the banner below if you're watching the video, myfavoriteconservative.show. And Mark, another shout out to Mark. Thanks so much for sticking with us.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.